The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and T-Mac.
First, are you kidding me? God.
We're starving.
I don't know, man. I don't. I guess that's the talk about a big story of the day. It's never going to snow in the Front Range.
I mean, that there's like not a cloud in the sky, blue skies forever.
I mean, I'm actually fine with it. Who needs snow down here, right? You want snow up in the mountains. Snow doesn't really help us down here. But it's just crazy. I know we're on some sort of wild record weather pace. It's hard not to acknowledge it.
Well, it has been wild getting alerts on my phone, like in the middle of the winter, that, hey, we're at extreme fire risk right now. It's like, now's not the time that I should be getting those alerts on my phone.
Okay. Meanwhile, it is December. It doesn't feel like it, but here we are. And the Broncos
showed up today at my house.
Oh, is that
right? That's right.
Right.
CJ, he showed up. He showed up. You know, we were wondering when he was going to show up.
Where was he?
Well, he showed up on December 1st. That's when he came out.
All right.
Yep.
Were your kids capable of consuming the elf?
Consuming? Wow. You want to know what's going on in the house? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I don't know if you want to share or not.
Well, I don't want to get a queasy stomach right now, but let's just say that the kids... they had some chili at school that didn't settle well.
And how's that going at the household?
Ugh.
All of them?
Everywhere.
Wow.
Turns out there's half the school missing today. I think they got food poisoning from chili that was served at lunch from the school.
Did you get a refund from Stink?
You know, I kept telling them they shouldn't have bought. Never mind. They should have. It's great. Stinks.
It wasn't.
That would never be good. Come on.
That they should go. They should use Stink.
Exactly.
If they use Mark's chili.
Why would you even say that?
So it'd be they could make a smart decision to use Mark's chili.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because this landscaper is really good at chili.
Andy Reid. What do you think of Andy Reid? Just let me start there.
Oh, one of the all-time greatest coaches in history. Even before he came to the Chiefs, he had a Hall of Fame career going on. And it's one of those fascinating situations. The Eagles, kind of similar to the Broncos moving on from Mike Shanahan. Like, you move on from Andy Reid, what are you really doing? Now, they got lucky. They won a Super Bowl after they got rid of Andy Reid, after they moved on. But most of the time when you move on from a coach like that, it takes you decades to replicate that type of success. They're back into, well, playing bad football or kind of okay football. But Andy Reid has gone to Kansas City, and he's had success everywhere he's gone with all kinds of QBs, Alex Smith, Donovan McNabb, so on and so forth. The dude is one of the best coaches in NFL history. He's the best ever at the first 15. You want to talk about watching a brilliant mind come out. You can see Andy Reid, the prep that he puts in throughout the week. You see that come out in the first 15. Whereas I watch Pat Shurmur, and I'm like, wait, you worked all week long to come up that first 15, and that was the best that you had? No, you watch Andy Reid, and you could see he's exposing deficiencies every single week, and that's for first 15.
Well, he was the Chiefs were definitely having some defensive problems, and he was asked about how they've what the improvement has been recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way the league is right now. I mean, it's what are you today and every week? So you gotta stay on top of your game. And then at the end of the year, then you evaluate it, right? So we're seeing crazy things in this league, ups and downs, and so much parity. And I mean, it's never been quite like it is right now, which I think is great. It's great for all the cities in this league. But that's, small things matter. And you get those flipped around, and, good things can happen.
Well, what were the things that mattered to you guys to make that change?
Well, if I was born yesterday, I'd probably tell you that. But I've been doing this a couple of days, and so I'm not going to put that out there.
All right, so that they've done something. He just doesn't want to talk about it. What have they done? Well, what's happened?
I just want to quickly glance on what he was talking about this year, what's going on in the NFL. Okay. It's amazing. The parity has always been incredible in the NFL. This year, more than ever, there's not a super team. There's nobody that you could look at and you say, I could guarantee that they're going to be in the Super Bowl. Now, what would be fascinating? What if we had a Patriots-Tom Brady matchup? that would be pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like this is last year's NBA. Like, anybody could go out there and do it. You could have a team that limps into the playoffs with 10 victories, and they're going to go win a Super Bowl. Like, the Chiefs limp in with 10 victories. Could they get hot in December or late December and go win a Super Bowl? Sure. What have the Chiefs done to change things this year? Well, they found a defense is the main thing that they were able to do. They were really struggling in early parts of the year. Patrick Mahomes was not himself. I mean, he's magical in a lot of ways, but one of the most magical things that he did as a young QB, he didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
I mean, even Peyton Manning turned the ball over as a young quarterback.
Right.
Everybody turns the ball over as a young QB. Right. Patrick Mahomes didn't do it. He never turned the ball over. This year, at the beginning of the year, he was doing it at an alarming rate. Now, that's changed, and that's slowed down a lot over the last few weeks.
You know, they're still -7 in giveaway takeaway, which is one of the worst teams in the league. It is unbelievable they're -7 right now and they're still 7-4.
Because they were terrible in the first 5 or 6 weeks in that category. Patrick Mahomes, if you watch the film over the last 4 weeks in particular, he doesn't give you very many opportunities. But, hey man, maybe he'll go back to the first 4 or 5 weeks where he was given opportunities left and right. And defensively, what's really made the change for the Chiefs is they found a way to shut down the run. They got two inside linebackers that are playing fantastic football for them. That's made a huge difference both in the run game and in pass defense. And they've got a pass rush all of a sudden ever since they went out and they got Melvin Ingram,
right,
who isn't necessarily a difference maker himself. He's a decent football player at this point in his career, but it's allowed them to do some creative things, putting Jones on the inside and getting a lot of games going.
Nick Bolton is one of those guys that you're talking about who's off the charts. And we'll break it all down a little bit deeper at 4 o'clock. You wanted me to ask about the bye week.
Why do you think you've had so much success coming off a bye week here? You're 19-3 as a head coach, and without giving away your state secrets, in general, philosophically, what have you done to be so successful there?
Now, listen, that one I have no secrets on. That one I don't know why that is. So we take some time off. We make sure we evaluate before we do it and go back through and do our self-scouts. And then we go. And I would imagine if you talk to most coaches in this league, that's kind of what they do. They give their players some time off and they do some self-scouting. And not that you don't do it every week, but it just gives you a little bit more condensed time there. I can't tell you why the record's there.
So, I did want you to ask that question. He's got an incredible record, probably the best in the history of the NFL. I don't know that for a fact, but I bet it is. 19-3 coming off the bye. Most teams, you know, last week you asked me, or you told me that the Broncos had a slow day on Monday. Should they be concerned about that? And I told you, man, every team I've ever been on, you come off the bye, you've got a bad practice, the first one. Coaches tell you you look lazy, you look like you weren't working out, you didn't take care of yourself. And more times than not, my team's actually struggled coming off the bye.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it. You would think that you'd be fresh, you'd be ready to rock and roll. But Andy Reid, that's not the way he does it. Now, I know what he does. And I was curious to hear if he was going to give you a real glimpse into it. But okay. Andy Reid is phenomenal at understanding his own team. What you do during the bye week, it's really, there's only a couple times throughout the season that you could sit down and you could really self-scout. And you don't watch your opponent's film. You watch your own film for a week straight. And you figure out all your tendencies. You figure out what other teams know about you. And Andy Reid sits there. He figures out all his tendencies. And what a lot of teams will do when they come out of the bye, well, they come out and they just do things that are radically different to try to break their tendencies. Mm. Not Andy Reid. He comes out in stuff that looks identical, that makes you think that he did not scout himself, that he did not change anything. And then he tosses in a quick little wrinkle, and it's stuff that you're not going to physically be able to notice with the eyeball. But if you really analyze the film from the week before the bye to the week after the bye with Andy Reid. What he does offensively, he breaks all of his tendencies, and he carries that on. Like, he doesn't just do it for one game. He carries that on through the remainder of the season. He changes his identity, and teams can't keep up with it.
So this is one of the most dangerous times the Broncos could face the Chiefs.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. I mean, Andy Reid's always a fantastic coach, but when he's coming off of a bye week, the dude's darn near impossible to beat.
What do you think he's seeing with his team to improve during this bye week? What tendencies do you think he's seeing that's like, we gotta fix that one?
Well, ironically, the one thing that is not really working for the Chiefs right now is all their trickery. That stuff has been their bread and butter for a long, long time. But they're losing a lot of yards on some of their, I wouldn't call them trick plays, but they're, you know, fancy plays, stuff that a lot of teams don't run. You know, when they go to their bread and butter, they've got an interior offensive line that is phenomenal. Mm. I mean, those front three, their center and their two guards, they're maulers. And when they just go simple football, they run down the middle, they have a lot of success. So I would not be shocked at all to see Andy Reid come out of the bye week and show you all the fly sweeps, show you all the reverses, but not try to do it as often because he realizes, hey, I'm having a whole lot more success when I just run old school simple football.
They do have some younger guys on the offensive line, and he was asked about that.
Yeah, I think it's probably different for every group that goes through it. You know, our guys have been working hard at that part of it, and they've gotten better every week, and we still have plenty of room to improve. And this will be a good challenge right here with this defensive line because they're very active.
I love those guys up front, man. They got Creed Humphrey playing center. He's a rookie. Fantastic football player. I always liked him. I was high on him for a long time, and he's not like he's not like Lloyd. Like, Lloyd came out, and he struggled, and Lloyd, quite frankly, still does struggle a lot. Okay. You don't see Creed Humphrey struggling. No, you see that dude handling his business, and you see him moving people north and south. You know, they've got a left guard in Thuney who came from the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He was a very coveted offensive lineman, and there are a lot of people that wanted him. There was debates whether the Patriots were going to franchise tag him or not. Kansas City Chiefs end up with them. And what they've got is they've got an interior group that is phenomenal. Now, they've got one weakness on their offensive line, and it's a right tackle. They've got their third-team right tackle out there playing. They got Chris Long in the offseason. They pulled him out of retirement. He was supposed to be a starter on the interior offensive line. He's been on the physically unable to perform list all year long. He's been activated. Will he play or not? That's to be determined. But there's some rumors circulating out there that they might bump him out to right tackle, replace their third team right tackle who's been struggling. And that probably would be a huge improvement for him.
Okay. And finally, what we're talking about a lot is the streak. Now, my guess, big brother, little brother, you know, I thought Reed's answer would more or less be along these lines. But, you know, for those who, like us Broncos fans, the streak is driving us nuts. What if you're on the other side? What if you're the ones dispensing justice? I mean, what does it mean to you?
Right, because that feels good.
In Denver, everybody's quite aware of the losing streak. I'm curious how much the winning streak is talked about or are you guys aware of or even care about?
Yeah, somebody asked me about a streak. I'm not even sure what streak we're talking about.
Oh, shut up.
I'm glad you explained it.
Does that drive you nuts right there?
Oh, shut up. I mean, what are you talking about? I'm not even aware of the fact that I've just kicked their butts for the, you know, what are you talking about? I have no idea, man. I haven't lost to the Denver Broncos since 2015 at home, but I'm not aware of that. No, I've got no clue that that's going on.
Oh, my God.
Or even care about.
Yeah, somebody asked me about a streak. I'm not even sure what streak we're talking about. I'm glad you explained it, but we don't get into that. Every year is different in this league, so we always preach that, and it's true. I mean, that's the truth. So, and this is a good football team that we're playing. So if you get your focus on that and not whatever other stuff we got going here, that's the most important thing. You better focus. Should take all your energy to focus in on this football team, the Denver Broncos football team. You better have everything tunneled in on that because they're a good team.
So, by the way, of course, I rolled my eyes too when he said that,
right.
By the way. So, when you say something, I roll my eyes. It's my opportunity to be snarky. So, here is me being snarky.
Do you believe streaks are meant to be broken?
That's a wild question. Are you from the 60s? I'll skip that one.
I like it. So you know what you did there, D-Mac. I'm proud of you. You made him acknowledge the streak that he allegedly was unaware of.
Right.
So now he's aware of this streak, and Now you put it in the back of the mind that, yeah, every streak has to come to an end eventually.
That's right. That's what I was trying
to
do.
Good job. Way to go.
Do you believe streaks are meant to be broken?
No, that's a wild question.
Yeah, see, you know what? Be the instigator with other coaches.
That's right.
Make them hate you.
That's right. Come on, Broncos Nation. I country.
Wow. Wow.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Relax.
What are you doing right now?
Here we go. Here is loss.
I just gave you a compliment, dude.
Here is loss number two in the streak.
November 27, 2016. The defending Super Bowl champion Broncos were 7-3. Coming off the bye as the Chiefs made their way to Mile High for a primetime Sunday night showdown. A thrilling back-and-forth contest appeared to be over when Denver took an 8-point lead late.
Simeon to throw, floats it for the sideline. Caught by Fowler down the left sideline at midfield to the 30. Fowler to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown! 76 yards! The Broncos go up top and might just put that one away.
However, Alex Smith rallied and Kansas City tied the game with just 12 seconds remaining.
Smith rolls right, throws on the run for the end zone. It is caught. The two-point conversion is good. And the Chiefs march down the field and tie the game with 12 seconds to play.
In overtime, after the teams traded field goals, Gary Kubiak faced a tough decision and trotted out Brandon McManus to win the game.
For the win for McManus, good snap, good hold. The line drive kick is low and no good from 62 yards, and Denver rolls the dice and they come up empty.
With a short field, Andy Reid's Chiefs had a chance for a chip shot to win the game. And as has been the case over the last 6 years in this rivalry, everything just seems to go the Chiefs' way. That was Kansas City's second straight win over the Broncos. Who would have known they'd go on to win the next 9 as well? Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead this Sunday.
Wow. God, I feel like I should remember that one better than I do. That one doesn't really stand out to me.
You know what? I remember that one very vividly because I was sitting right here. I was watching game right here. I was doing the post-game show with Cecil Lammy.
Okay.
And we were watching it. And when Trevor hit that home run, we were starting to get ready. Like, we practically turned it off. We're just ready to rock and roll. We're getting the phones fired up. Trevor Siemian, we were coming off the Super Bowl. It felt like a huge momentum win. Now, gosh, do you guys recall what week that was?
Oh, man, November 27th had to be...
But it was relatively...
11-12, something
like that. Yeah, so it was relatively deep into the season, and it was a critical point of the season.
Yeah.
If you win that game, shoot, the Broncos go to the playoffs. Obviously, there was the other one, but if you win that one, Broncos go to the playoffs. It was a huge game, and it felt like Trevor was the hero that we had all been waiting for.
Mm.
Like, hey, we're just going to keep on rocking and rolling, because they had that dang thing won.
I don't know why that. Now the next one really stands out to me. This one doesn't. I don't know. I guess it just doesn't quite ring that same bell. But I mean, obviously at this point, we don't think the Chiefs are anything all that special, right? Like, okay, they're a good team, but it's. I mean, they don't even have Mahomes at this point.
Are you talking about this year?
This game, 2016. I mean. Yeah, obviously it's a game that the Broncos probably should have won. You're coming off the Super Bowl. Trevor's playing pretty well.
He was playing great at that point.
Mark Schlereth wanted to pay him like $100 million. You know, I mean, he had the statue of Trevor Siemian out there.
Yeah. You know, the Trevor start was pretty dang phenomenal.
It was good.
It goes to show you what a system what a great system can do for just about any quarterback. And a West Coast system is very quarterback friendly. So obviously the system hid a lot of Trevor's flaws for a long time. Now, what really happened to Trevor is he just started getting hit, and he got spooked. He started seeing ghosts all the time. And in particular, I remember in Kansas City that year, oh, man, he threw one across the middle of the field that was just devastating. And I knew Trevor was never going to be the same again after that.
The coaches today, you know, Fan just said the losing streak. Nah, you know, whatever. No, you know, we'll get to Richie being mean to me, by the way. That was mean.
Yeah, you deserve
Richie's
it.
Being mean.
Well, I mean, just pointing out the facts.
Get to that in the water cooler.
You did say Broncos Nation.
Yeah, okay. Justin Simmons today about the losing streak.
I mean, typically how I operate is I like to be where my feet are. So I don't really like thinking about the past and or even the future. I really just like focusing in on the now and like, you know, what's at stake right now. But with that being said, you know, at some point it does, you know, piss you off a little bit. Looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, it's obviously great life philosophy. Handle what you can handle. Make the decision that's in front of you. You can't change what's in the past, nor can you control the future. All you can do is to control today and do the best you can. So that's fine. But there's no way. Like you were asking me what I use this game as motivation for these players, and I said no, because the majority of these guys, they don't know the pain of this streak. Justin Simmons knows the pain. that dude. I mean, he has to be on pins and needles. You win this game, unfortunately, it's going to feel like a mini Super Bowl.
Simmons is a pretty cool customer. I got to give him props. So Kisla today, I got to give Mark props too. So Kisla today comes out and just says, hey, you know, a lot of people like me say that you guys don't deserve to be on national TV of the way you've played over the past couple years.
Right.
I'm like, whoa, okay. And Simmons
didn't toss anybody else under the bus.
Sure. No, he just came out and said it. And Simmons said this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Sunday night, man. And I think that's a fair statement, you know, for you and for other people to say, you know, hey, we don't think you guys are worthy enough to play primetime ball. And, you know, that's an opinion, obviously, you know, I sit up here and obviously I'll disagree with it. But with that being said, the best way to prove opinions wrong is to go out there and to do exactly that, to prove it wrong. And so Sunday, we got a great opportunity to prove a lot of people wrong.
I like it. So that's got a little bit of a George Payton answer in it. You know, this is why did you trade Vaughn? Well, because we're not the Rams. If we were the Rams, then we wouldn't have traded Von Miller. He's going to a better team. He's going to a better situation. We're trying to become the Rams, but we're not them right now. It was a reality check that George Payton was living in, and Justin Simmons is not oblivious to it. Justin is phenomenal with the media. Phenomenal. He's gotten the Good Guy Award, you know, I think all but one year that he's been playing in the NFL. He's a fantastic dude. He knows how to handle the media. But more importantly, I think that is an acknowledgement to the fan base that, hey, we haven't given you the product that you deserve. Right. So we kind of lucked out getting into this primetime game because they wanted Patrick Mahomes on TV.
Yep.
But this is an opportunity for the Broncos to, well, get all the affirmation for Broncos country back into their corner that they've been missing for a long time.
All right, Richie's being mean. I haven't looked at the poll in the past hour, so I don't know. I'm not going to look at it until don't even bring it in yet. But we'll look at it live when we come back with the water cooler, and you'll hear my interaction with Vic Fangio. It'll be entertaining. That's for sure. The water cooler is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, I thought Vic Fangio and I had a great relationship.
Really?
Sure.
You, pretty naive.
I guess so. Man, I had no idea. And, I'm looking at Richie's Twitter here because I have not seen the results, nor do I want to see them right away. But let me play the question, which I thought was pretty benign, by the way. I don't think this was that insulting or anything. I thought it was pretty logical. And we're talking all about it. We're playing highlights and vignettes. And
I mean, doesn't he know that that's what we're doing? We're building an entire week around it.
Does he not realize that?
No.
No.
So here we
yes,
go.
Well, that's we're a lie. Yes, he does. He's well aware of that.
No.
Okay. Well, here it is.
Coach Reed said he wasn't all that aware of the current streak, the 11-game losing streak the Broncos had to the Chiefs, or in their case, the winning streak. Does that matter to you? Is that a point of conversation and motivation?
No.
You know what? I could hear it in his voice. That was one of those times where it doesn't matter what the person asks you. And you're right. That was a relatively friendly way to ask the question. It wasn't even that big of a deal. He's not even responsible for all of the losses.
No, not even close.
Sure. But you could just tell that that's one of those times that somebody's asking you a question and you're not listening to a word they say. You're just ready to move on to the next person. Well, because, I'm sorry, he doesn't like you?
I know.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
No.
So
no.
So
no.
Richie puts out.
And he's usually pretty friendly. Like, you know, honestly, he usually gives a relatively friendly answer to the majority of the questions.
Yeah. I've asked him a million questions out there.
Yeah.
I did ask him, you know, is Landeskog your favorite player when he was wearing a Landeskog shirt?
I don't think that was it.
Maybe.
But maybe not.
That might have started it. But yeah. It was the putting him on the stand and putting him on a polygraph right after winning the Cowboys game. The second question to the presser, it was like back to back to back, rapid fire, just grilling him about the Drew Lock COVID procedures.
Well, I mean, they were staring down the barrel of a hitting part two, but okay. So Richie, our guy, our producer, puts it out there. Who do you think Vic Fangio hates more, Drew Lock or me? D-Mac.
Wow.
So I just
834 responses. Decent response.
Yep.
Yeah.
And despite what you may think, or that question, or anything else, the peeps out there think he still hates Drew Lock more.
So if that's how he responds to you, how does he talk to Drew Lock? Drew Lock, hey coach, do you think I could play this weekend?
No.
With 834 votes. That's a good chunk. Drew Lock 59%, D-Mac 41%.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, D-Mac, but I think the people got it wrong. You know, I don't think that Vic Fangio hates Drew Lock. He doesn't trust Drew Lock, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He might not want to play Drew Lock.
Gotcha.
I don't think he hates Drew Lock. When I hear him answer your questions, that sounds like a dude that he hates.
Well, I asked him another question. I was not to be deterred.
All right, let's listen to the tone and the voice.
Coach, would you ever consider using Patrick Surtain on special teams or even offense?
No.
No, not on offense.
Special teams?
Wait a second. You don't think that was a happier tone?
No.
That was the exact same thing, other than he added a couple words into it.
Yeah, 11-1-1.
Coach, would you ever consider using Patrick Surtain on special teams or even offense?
No, not on offense.
Special teams?
Possibly.
Boy, I think he warmed up.
Who is this lunatic asking me if I'm going to play Patrick Surtain on offense right now? Does he not realize that he's my toy on defense? That was an interesting question.
Well, I asked Patrick Surtain about it.
How did you feel about playing special teams or maybe be involved with a unique play on offense?
I think that'd be cool.
I'd love to be prime time. Are you kidding me? I grew up watching Dion. I feel like I should be treated like Dion. I think I can do the same things as Dion. I think that would be cool.
I think that'd be cool. Yeah. Sure, I'll ask Tom McMahon. I bet Tom McMahon would love to have Patrick Surtain. I think he would be thrilled. I think Ed Donatell would blow a gasket if that happened.
I mean, I don't see what would be wrong with putting him on special teams. I really don't. See, offense, I do think that you're asking for injury. And it's not just that he's getting tackled, but it's different body movements. It's just, it's different. When you're not in control of what you're doing and you're not confident in your play call, where you're going, what your landmarks are, mm-hmm. bad things happen. But on special teams, at least if you put him on the right special teams units.
Sure.
He's just playing defense. He's just doing what he always does. He's running down the field, and he's making an open tackle.
He would be a monster as a gunner.
Oh, hell yeah.
Monster.
Yeah, he would.
First of all, he's one of the fastest guys, if not the fastest guy on the team. And seriously, he's a big dude.
Is he the fastest? I'm trying to think about it.
He might be.
He might be the fastest.
And he's 6'2 and yoked. I mean, he is a steam engine coming down the field.
No, he's a Madden creative player. That's literally what he is.
So you don't think Tom McMahon would want Patrick Surtain? Of course he would.
Looks like Steve Atwater playing corner.
Hey, by the way, you don't think Pat Shurmur would want to have the ability to do something with Patrick Surtain? I guarantee you he would.
I really don't.
No.
I
think you way underestimate the challenge of that. I think you way underestimate the nuances that go into landmarks and breaks and everything. Pat Shurmur would trust all of his wide receivers 100 times out of 100 rather than putting him out there.
I don't know. I mean, I would think Shurmur would like the challenge and would rather have the option of figuring it out with Patrick Surtain rather than Deontay Spencer.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
he doesn't use Deontay Spencer on offense anyways.
They've tried over the years. It just hasn't. I mean, it hasn't worked out.
Mostly out of necessity, but yeah, they've tried.
Right. Anyways.
You are onto something on special teams, and I've always thought that people overthink that. If you've got a stud, and they're a stud on offense, they're a stud on defense, hey, let them be a stud on special teams as well. It's pretty important.
I'm just saying, you got a unique guy. Congratulations to Patrick Surtain. The people that are crowing about the draft pick, I get it. You certainly have the right to do that. I think you're misguided a little bit for the wrong reasons, but okay, fine. Nobody is here. Nobody on the day that Patrick Surtain has won AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Nobody is here to say anything that this dude is unique. And it's awesome to have a unique guy on your team. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
And the comparisons coming between Patrick Surtain and Champ Bailey. How about Ryan Green from Channel 4 putting that video together
of
the side-by-side of Surtain and Champ Bailey's interceptions from virtually the same place on the same field?
Well, the goosebumps part of it for me was when they hit the end zone and they crossed the line and they both tossed their arms out. It looked identical.
And Peter Schrager on NFL Network has a what is the segment? That's Cool Dude or Nice Play Man or something like that. And he used, this is a crazy thing. So that was Patrick Surtain, the second first pick six ever. His dad's last pick six ever was on the same field scoring in the same end zone.
Cool.
How about that moment?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Something tells me we're going to see a whole lot more of those, man.
Yeah, I love it.
That first interception, by the way, that was one hell of an interception. What he was able to do with that, he baited him. He baited that interception, and he bit on it. He got the quarterback to do exactly what he wanted him to do, and then he took it.
Yeah, Surtain actually. Oh, man, I wonder if we have that.
The second one was awesome just for top-end speed, just to see him take off. But by the way, it looked like he was jogging. It did. Like especially by the time he got to probably the 20, you could tell even at jogging, he's faster than the majority of the guys on the field.
It was Surtain talked about his first interception today.
Yeah, I knew that he was in the end zone. You know, you only have so much room to throw it. So I sort of leveled off a little bit, shuffled eyes on the quarterback, and when he threw it, I just made a play.
He baited him.
Oh, he totally baited him.
Pretty cool.
That was a major veteran move.
I wonder if James Merrillat will recognize that.
Mm.
Or just an underthrown ball that anybody could have made the play on.
D-Mac could have caught it.
D-Mac would have pulled up lame, as soon as I can't. D-Mac would have done nothing.
We did have a group thread going on the other day where I was rolling my eyes. I was. I didn't respond, but I was rolling my eyes at some of your texts.
About what?
Well, about the kickers, and you're like, man, I could make those field goals. I could kick the 35-yarder. I could do this. I could do that.
A 35-yarder, no. A 27-yarder, yeah. I mean, you know.
I would love to see you kick a 27-yarder with 21 other people on the field and a bunch of Shelby Harrises with their hands in the air, you might be able to make it to the field goal, but to actually get it up in the air, I highly doubt it. I couldn't do it.
Am I 25 years old?
Dude, I couldn't do it. I'm not saying that about it. I could make it on air if I'm sitting at Cherry Creek High School, okay. not kicking against anybody, but in a game situation with people that are actually going to block it, dude, that is way more difficult than you think.
You realize I beat Orlando Franklin in a field goal kicking competition earlier this year.
What was your max distance?
They only had us lining up from like 25 yards or something, 20, 25 yards, something like that.
Attaboy. So are you the station champ? Just saying?
I'm not bragging. I'm just describing.
I like it.
Teddy Bridgewater, what did he have to say about Face of the Chiefs? You'll hear it coming up next.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook presents the Fans Nuggets postgame show tonight, immediately following the Nuggets game with Orlando. It's all part of our commitment to bring you the most Nuggets content on Denver's sports station. 104.3, The Fan. Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and Dean.
Don't forget, if you hear Foo Fighters and you're the fourth caller, you can win Foo Fighters tickets for
when
they...
Is this Foo Fighters?
Oh. Oh, this is not Foo Fighters.
Just checking.
Do you know who this is?
Well, it's not Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah, okay. Boston.
Nirvana.
It's not Nirvana. I can't tell if... I don't know.
I don't believe it.
Teddy Bridgewater was, is he amped for the primetime game?
It's another opportunity, you know, that's not really promised to us. And, it's an opportunity to do something great, of course. But, I just say it's another opportunity to go out there and try to help this team win.
Are you excited because it's a primetime game?
No, it just makes the day longer. You know, that's about it. Especially when you're on the road, you got to sit in the hotel until it's time to go to the stadium, but that's about it.
Have you talked about how you haven't beaten the Chiefs in 11 games?
No, you know, some things you just don't talk about. Look for.
You see where I'm going here, Tyler?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I struggle with it as a player because I hear a lot of what he's saying there, and I resonate with it. And to be honest with you, I always preferred an early start. The primetime games, they were brutal. You just laid around all day long. And by the time you got to it, of course, a primetime game was fun. Of course it was. You get under the lights, and you know that you're the only show on TV. There's an extra rush of adrenaline that hits you. But the anticipation of waiting for it, oh, my gosh, I would much rather play a daytime game and just be able to go out there and play, to be able to go out there and do it. Now, I do think that the players are missing a little bit of an opportunity here. Every game is the same. Every game is hard to win. It's hard to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's hard to beat the Detroit Lions. It's hard to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a lot of truth in that for sure. But I don't think there's anything wrong in acknowledging, hey, we're going up against the Chiefs. This is a big game. This is a big opportunity. Right. We've got the prime time. We're on TV. We know we're on TV. We don't want to lay an egg. I don't think there would be anything wrong with them acknowledging that.
You know, after Teddy, I like Teddy. I like Teddy a lot, actually. And I'm talking to Jeff Legwald and Arnie Stapleton. And after he walked off, and Leggy was kind of like, hey, what did you expect him to, you know, rah-rah? And, okay, fine. I get it. But we were also talking amongst the three of us about, well, what are the better plans for next year?
I love that Kevin's answering calls right now.
I know, because
I love that he has to answer calls right now. I love that I've got that type of power.
You have that, you know, when it comes to inspiring the morons, you're right there. you are the leader of the idiots.
Thank you.
You got it.
I take that as a compliment.
The fact is, and we've had this conversation on the air, when it comes to next year, there are so many ways that Teddy Bridgewater is your best option.
Oh, yeah. There are very few. There's very few scenarios that I can even figure out in which there's somebody that's more like. Actually, there's not a scenario. I'll put it simple. There's not a scenario I could figure out in which it's more likely for X player to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos than Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Every single scenario, it's by far more likely that it's going to be Teddy. Now, you guys don't have to like that. You don't have to even want that. And I'm not telling you that that's a long-term plan. But I'm telling you, at this point in the season, you've got a winning record. It certainly, if you beat the Kansas City Chiefs, he's definitely going to be your quarterback. But I would assume they've got a couple more victories in them. They're going to be drafted in 17, 18, somewhere in that ballpark. Certainly not going to get the premier quarterback in the draft, and there's nobody in free agency. So I've got the dreams of Russell Wilson. I've got the dreams of Aaron Rodgers. But every reality leads me back to the same road. Teddy Bridgewater is by far the most likely quarterback to be here next year.
So I'm talking, again, with Leggy and Arnie, and Troy was there too, and Mace was there. And the question was, well, should they try to be signing Teddy now? And Arnie goes, well, why would Teddy do that? And he goes, Teddy's going to want to see, he's going to want starting quarterback money.
That's what I've been telling you.
And he'll just go along the road of whatever his agent tells him to do. And then Arnie pointed out, he goes, you know, he's playing better right now than when he got that huge money from Carolina.
Yeah. No, Teddy's having the best year of his entire career right now. He's 3-1 in touchdown to interceptions. He's got 15 touchdowns. He's got 5 interceptions. Playing, his completion percentage is through the roof. Now, we know that that's misleading a little bit. But when we've had this conversation previously, I've told you the longer the Broncos wait, the more leverage they gain in the negotiation. If you go to Teddy at this point, Teddy's got the power. Because if you tell Teddy, I want to sign you up, he says, all right, I'm the starting quarterback, I'm playing good football, you're going to give me $20 to $25 million per year, because that's the going rate for a starting QB. But if you wait, and if you've got some patience, you get to the offseason, reality is going to tell you there's not going to be other teams out there that are going to want to sign Teddy. So as long as there's not any other suitors out there, the Broncos gain leverage, and then they can get him on a reasonable deal that's appropriate for a backup QB.
Oh, okay. You sure, though? You sure it's not going to be a Brock Osweiler situation where you undervalue him, you wait, and then you lose him to somebody else?
Who? Who are you going to lose him to?
I don't know.
What team is going to want Teddy?
I don't know how it's all going to shake out. How many teams are going to need new quarterbacks next year? Where is he? Never mind speculating. He's going to be a free agent. Who are the best? We should look it up. The free agent quarterbacks for next year. Where does Teddy fit?
I've looked it up. I mean, there's guys like Ben Roethlisberger, you know, is big.
Nick Foles.
Teddy would be very high on the list for sure.
Would he be number one?
But it's not going to change how people view him as far as a long-term solution. So, are the Saints going to look at him like he's the solution? I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm not sure. But I'm willing to take that gamble. Because if you pay him right now, guess what? You got to pay him starters money. If you do what I'm suggesting, you wait it out and you try to gain the leverage, worst case scenario, you got to pay him what you would pay him right now. If you pay him right now, you have to give him $20 to $25 million per year, because he's a starter that's playing decent football. That's the going rate. If you wait it out, and if there's somebody else, okay, well, then I'm wrong. You don't get him on a discount, but you got to pay him $20 to $25 million per year no matter what.
Just asking the question. When it was the Brock situation, you know, part of it was the Broncos didn't offer as much money.
Yeah.
But a part of it, too, was they really did insult him, too. And you could feel that Brock was insulted because he didn't go to the ring ceremony. He didn't fly back for Peyton's retirement thing. He really did show that it felt like he was insulted by the Broncos because they didn't really aggressively make him an offer, not only during the season, but even after the season, they actually waited quite a bit. You don't think Teddy would be insulted or
Teddy hasn't earned that. Brock did. Even if you want to argue that Teddy's a better QB than Brock and Brock went out and he failed at that moment, Brock, number one, he was a draft pick, so he knew that the team was invested in him. Number two, he stepped up when called upon and he took the team to a Super Bowl, or at least he was a huge part of it.
Sure.
He did everything he was asked to, and he had all the leverage in that situation. Teddy, he's a journeyman quarterback that's having the best year of his season. He doesn't have the type of leverage that Brock Osweiler had at that point.
All right, it's a What to Know Wednesday. Let's go. It's Chiefs week. We'll look at the Chiefs in detail coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.